Praise God. Mulungu akudalise. Hallelujah. All right, so today we will start a new series. It's a campaign. It's a connection campaign. And we'll take this series for the next 6 weeks. So we see in the Bible when God was creating in Genesis chapter 1 that God said that there be light, and there was light. But when it gets to verse 26, then God says, let us make man. You see there, he made man. It was actually a teamwork. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it was a team connection. And so then he says, let us make man. Now, he didn't make man alone. He says, let us make man. And he made man in his image, male and female. So two people connected. He would have created one person, but God chose to create two so that there's connection. And that is why in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says, two are better than one. It says, if one fall, the other one will lift the other person up. So we are created or designed for connection. So the title of this sermon this morning is that you are designed for connection. God designed all of us to be connected. We're designed for connection. And God builds based on those connections. Now, if I'm building a house, or this structure was built by brick upon brick. One brick by itself is useless. But now when we put bricks together, we have this beautiful structure. And so God tells us that we are many in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that though the body is one, but has got many parts. So we were designed for community. We'll see it from there, right there, that God designed us for community. So let's pray as we get started. Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your glory. Thank you, Lord, that we worship you. We give you praise. We worship you this morning. And thank you, Father, that you make everything beautiful in your time. This morning, Father, as we hear your word, teach us, Father, to walk with you and to receive your word with grace, to learn and to be guided by your spirit, the spirit of truth. We thank you that, Lord, this spirit of truth will ignite those places where there's darkness. Thank you, Father, the entrance of your word gives understanding and brings light to the simple. So we give you praise. We yield ourselves to you. And so, Father, I ask that you speak and that, Lord, will hear. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. All right. So I said right from the preamble there is that God designed us for connection. God designed us for connection. Now you see, as you read Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, when they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of a day, what happened? They heard him and then they hid. So it means that they had a connection. They knew that God wanted fellowship. God wanted communion with them. That is why they heard the sound. They knew the sound of God. They knew the sound of their creator. And it was based on that that says, oh, we've done something that we're not supposed to do. Suddenly, we are hiding ourselves because we are supposed to commune. It's time to commune. That sound was not just a sound for anything. That walking was basically, and it's an analogy, God is spirit, but it's an analogy of saying he was communing with them. Communing with them. And that is what God has called us, has designed or created us as man to relate with him. So you see throughout God's word, from Genesis to Revelation, is that it's a book about relationship. Relationship. And you see that there's each one of us has a role. There's a role to play, the role to listen, to the role to speak, the role to be a follower, a role to be a teacher. There's all of us have that. And so we'll see later on as we go into God's word on how these roles of each one of us are important. Now, when it comes to relationships, relationship can be designed or can be categorized into three areas. Number one is what we call a general relationship. general relationship. A general relationship is just a very surface relationship. Nothing going on, not much going on there. It's just an acquaintance kind of relationship. You know, colleagues. Nothing going on so much. Maybe it's just a casual approach. This relationship most times functions on just a surface emotional level. There's nothing much going on with a general relationship. It's actually most often is transactional. Or it's based on circumstances, circumstantial. It's nothing much in there. But there's another relationship which is called seasonal relationship. These are connections for a specific time and for a purpose. You find these connections, maybe you had them at school, when you're at college or your high school or primary school, they were a connection. They were very short, they could be midterm, medium term or long term, but yet these connections, the seasonal relationships, leave an impact in our lives. Leaves an impact in our lives. They bring lessons and bring us opportunities in our lives, but they're seasonal. They're short in that regard. And they end at one point. When they end, it's not necessarily that there's a conflict. It's just the fact that this relationship, as a seasonal relationship, has to end. Then there's another relationship which is very important, is what is called a covenant relationship. A covenant relationship. And this covenant relationship, we see it, God shows us, and he writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, that's the relationship between a husband and a wife. They get into what is called a covenant relationship. And then Jesus says in that verse, actually Paul says in that verse, he says, it is a mystery. This covenant relationship is a mystery. Why is it a mystery? He says it is speaking about Christ and the church. Christ and the church. So you and I, who are the church, the bride of Christ, are in this covenant relationship with him. And this covenant relationship we have with Christ is that Christ has said, I am not going to leave you. So there's a commitment from his side. So because there's a commitment on his side, there must be a commitment on our side. It's a covenant relationship. We see this relationship with David and Jonathan. You know, they decided, you know what, let's get into this covenant relationship. We are going to be committed to you no matter what comes. It's a covenant relationship. And so the church has been called to this covenant relationship that we have with our God. Now, every relationship must be maintained. It must be maintained. How do we maintain the relationship? It means there's a time that I have to create for this relationship. Especially when it comes to a covenant relationship, it must be a commitment. I'm committing myself and says, I'm going to create time. I'm committing to this relationship. I'm going to give my resources. I'm committed to this relationship that I'm going to be emotionally be available for this relationship. So it has to be maintained. Otherwise, if it's not maintained, the relationship will actually end. Anything that needs to flourish must be maintained. So a relationship must be maintained. It shouldn't be a one-off relationship. It must be a continuous relationship. And that's what God has called us. So it's important again to understand and to discern that don't turn your seasonal relationship into a lifetime covenant relationship. You must be aware of that. You must be discerning. You discern that. Because if you do that, you create a confusion and a frustration. So the covenant relationship is what God has called us to. Okay, so we enjoy, we participate in that. So Jesus had a cry in Matthew 23, verse 37. He's crying over Jerusalem. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. He's crying and he says, how often I want to gather you like a hen gathers her brooks under her wings, but you were not willing. What Jesus is saying there is that I want to do a relationship with you. I want to be invested into this relationship, but you are not willing. So in other words, a relationship has to be, you must be willing to get into a relationship. And that is what Jesus is saying. I want to do it. And this is God Almighty. I want to have a relationship with you. But if you're not willing, there's nothing I can do. And it grieves Jesus. It grieved Jesus to see that people were not willing to get into the relationship with him. And why? It's because they were casual about the relationship. They were casual about the relationship. So Jesus says, you know what? I grieve over you. I grieve over you. So why do relationships matter? Why do they matter? Why did God design us for relationship? So lesson number one is that relationship reveals the God's nature. Or the relationship reveals God's nature or character. Relationship number one reveals God's nature. What is God's nature? Let's read 1 John chapter 4 verse 7 to 8. 1 John chapter 4 verse 7 to 8. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? For love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. What that John is saying there is that to know God is to love others. To know God is to love others. Loving others is the secret to the treasure that God has stored in that person. That's the only way you get it. How do you get that treasure? It's by having that relationship. And that is why Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7 says, Christ has apportioned grace to each one of us. So each one of us has grace. Each one has been given grace. Now there's grace from you to me. So the grace that God has apportioned to me is not for me. The grace that God has apportioned to me is for another person. It's not for me. So that grace, if there's grace for wisdom, it's not for my own benefit. That grace that God has given me is for the other person. If God has given you grace for encouragement or encouraging other people, it's not for you. You don't need to encourage yourself. You need to encourage another person. That grace that has been given, has been apportioned to you, is for another person. But if you're not doing life, you're not in a connection, you're not connecting, you're not doing relationship, that grace is not beneficial. It's useless. It's useless. So how do we bring grace? It's by having relationships. By having connections. Then that grace is important. And that's the nature of God. Because God is love. God is love. So we emulate him. Or that relationship reveals how God loves us. And so it says in 1 John 4. It says, 1 John 3 verse 16. It says, how do we know love? This is how we know love. That he laid his life down for others. So love is known by laying our lives for other people. So we love others. To love God is to carry his heart. To love God is to carry his heart. We cannot claim that we have relationship with God and yet we deny relationship with other people. We can't. So we must develop his nature. But how do we develop this nature? So let's turn to the book of wisdom. Proverbs 18 verse 24. Proverbs 18 verse 24. We develop. So the book of wisdom gives us how we do these things. It says, a man who has friends must do what? Let me hear from you. A man who has friends must do what? Himself must be friendly. But there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. What the Bible says there is, if we desire friendship, we must sow seeds of friendships. If we desire friendship, we must sow seeds of friendships. This explains a lot why some people don't have friends. It's because they haven't planted the seeds of friendship. And they say, oh, they don't greet me, they don't love me, you know. It's because you haven't sown the seeds of friendship. Even the way you smile to people, is always like a frowning face. How can I get into that relationship? Your handshake is just at the tip of my hand like this. You know those type of friendship that we greet each other? Very weak friendship. Give me a firm hand. I can tell that you want friendship. Come and say hi and greet and all that. That is how you develop these friendships. But you are alone all the time. When we finish the service, some of us use certain doors that just straight from here to the car. I said, they don't know me. They don't care about me. No, they don't care. It's not like they don't care. You have not cared to care for the relationship. Because only when you do that, then you get the ripple effect of what that relationship looks like. So show yourself strong. Some of us have too much hate inside of us because we have been friends with hate. There's pain inside. Not because there's pain. It's because what we attract is because there's pain inside. And pain is our friend. And because pain is our friend, we see pain going on. And we keep it. We nurture it. We rejoice over it. It's pain. And because pain is inside, what do we begot? We begot pain. It says, the love of God has been shed abroad. Where? In your heart. So if the love of God has been shed across in your heart, it will be easy for you to love. Some of us, it's because of trauma. We didn't learn how to have affections with other people. We grew up by yourself, like myself. I grew up by myself, and everything by myself. Yeah. So when I got married, I didn't need to learn how do I do life with the other person. Because I grew up without affections. So now I have to be intentional. How do I do life with the other person? How can I give affection to this person? I need to learn. So some of us, it's not because we don't want to have friends. It's because we have chosen to just stay with our trauma. This is who I am. That's not who you are. It's not true. All of us, God, there's a need. You see, the purpose of relationship is for problem solving. It could be an emotional problem, it could be a financial problem, it could be a psychological problem, but every relationship brings something on the table. Amen? Your phone won't ring until there's a problem. The problem could be emotional, just hi. It's enough for the other person. But you don't do those things. So everyone, show friendship. Some people say it's a demonic attack. There's no demon. Even the demons that we keep is because we love them. Oh yeah. Do you remember the story of the guy who had demons? And then God, Jesus says, if they go out and they find nothing there, and inside of you, they find, they go around and they come in your heart, you haven't put anything in there, what happens? It says they come back. And then they bring more. And then you have friends now. What happened? Is because you decided not to put in love. The love of God that had been shed across in your heart. So they are not demons. Just all you need to do is sow seeds. Sow seeds. Develop your above average smile. Develop it. Develop your above average handshake. Develop it. Develop your body language. Some body languages just can't, even when you see it, I shouldn't even go there. Because the body language just tells you, I shouldn't be. Yeah, we know how we carry ourselves. It's just the one which is frowning and is just by themselves and you say, hey, should I go there? I don't know. Maybe they are, let me just leave that person alone. Body language. So develop your body language. Be aware of your body language. What do I project myself to other people? So it says, sure, the one who desires to have friends should want. He himself should be friendly. That's the first place. We should be willing to be friendly with other people. So, connection groups are important, but they must be maintained. They must be maintained. Just like a car needs maintenance, relationship must be intentional to be maintained. How do we maintain it? We have time. We have communication. We look at each other. We find time for each other. That's how we maintain the relationship. You see, God is committed to the relationship that he has with the church, with you and I, is committed. But we must do our part. What is our part? Is that we read God's word, we pray, and we get into this stronger relationship. And that is why Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, he says, not verse 10, but John 10, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not hear." So how do they get to a place where I'm hearing God's voice? It's because I am communing with him. I'm having time with him. Some of us are always hearing the voice of a stranger. And you've never heard the voice of God. It's because you've never communed. You don't have time. You see, if I'm standing here and somebody shouts my name outside, if it's my son, I'll know this is my son. But if it's a stranger, I'll just say, who's calling me? But it doesn't sound like my son. My ears, my antenna will know who is calling me. Those people that I have friendships with, I will know who is calling me. You see, you're not called to be a one-man unit commando. I don't know, some of you are one-man unit. How can you be a unit and a one-man commando? No. We used to hear those things that, it's a one-man commando. No. God hasn't called you to be a one-man unit commando. God has called you to connect with others. Because there's grace for you from others. And there's grace for others from you. And only you can give that grace. Amen. Amen. All right. So let's go on. So the Bible says that now that we have this grace and now we can commune, now there's something that happens once we take on the nature of God. So the second point that happens is that there is spiritual growth through relationships. There's spiritual growth through relationships. Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. Acts 2. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers." It was a devotion. They took time. It wasn't a one-off. No. They devoted. Yeah, I'm devoted to these teachings and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. "And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes." So the temple in those days, they had to go to, a temple is like a church, so they came to a building like this one. So after the building of, after the church service, they still went out and did what? They broke bread. If in our time, you can say breaking shima. Okay? They were breaking shima in that time. Or kandoro, breaking kandoro. Or whatever it is that you're breaking into your spaces. So they were breaking together. Then they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with who? With all peoples. You see, it's when you do life with others that you find favor. Favor is found. Favor is not obtained. You find favor. He who finds a wife. So you find a wife, what do? You obtain favor. It's by relating with others. By finding, so you find favor. So that is what, so having favor with all people. "And the Lord added," look at the miracle, because you are doing life with other people. And then the Bible says, "Then the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." When growth was happening with this community, God said, then God, the result was that there was a miracle. And what was the miracle? It said God was now adding to their numbers. That's what happens. You see, there's increase, there is advancement, there is multiplication when you do life with other people. You grow in your faith as you do life with other people. So we are called to do that. And that is why Jesus in Mark 6 verse 7, he called the 12 and he began to send them two by two. He didn't send one. He sent two by two and gave them authority. Why two by two? Because strength, you get strength from another person. So as they went, each one was providing strength for the other person. That is why, again, going back to Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. So they learned together, they failed together if they were failed, and they had an experience together. You see, growth happens as we journey in a shared experience. Growth happens when we journey in a shared experience, when we're together. That's where growth happens. So we need to do it. When we serve with joy, when we give ourselves to what God has called us to do, but not to alone with others, then what happens there is that growth happens. Because God wants us to grow. So spiritual growth happens in connections. In connections, when we are connected, when we find others that we can do life with. Don't do life alone. Amen. So that is what happens. So spiritual maturity develops more quickly and deeply when we engage with others. Spiritual maturity develops more quickly and deeply when we engage with others. It says, wow. I didn't understand that scripture. Now that you talked about it, it has given me more insight. Where did it happen? When we're doing life with other people. The third thing that happens is that the church community is a family. It's a family. It is a family. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So we are all members of this household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, all of us, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. See, we are not just believers. We are brothers and sisters. We are family. We are members of God's household. We are daughters and sons in one spiritual family, which is God's household. So we are all there. So we are all connected. So when we are connecting, it means that we are all growing. Remember, we are supposed to grow up. We're supposed to grow old, but also grow up. Some people are just growing old. But God calls us to two things. He says, grow up, and also grow old. Because grow old is just a body. It has to grow old. Whether I like it or not, at one point, it will become weak, isn't it? But when growing up, it means that now this is a relationship. This is what we're doing. We're learning, we're growing, we're maturing. And now knowledge is now changing the way I think. Maturity is coming in. The same, when I was a boy, I changed things that I used to do as a boy. What has happened? Because there's connection. You see, you can always tell a person if he's a child by who they hang around with. Hallelujah. So if I have to change you, I have to change who you hang around with. If I have to change you, you see, you cannot grow above your relationships. According to your relationship, that's where you will be. So if you want to go higher, change your relationship. If you are the only person who is wise in a relationship, then... So as you do life, you say, oh, there's more. If I'm saying, oh, I'm not wise, I need to hang around with who? Wise people. The Bible says, he who hangs out with the wise people, what happens? Something happens, there's a rapport. I become wiser. Just hanging around with my foolishness. Because now I see how they do it, how they talk, how they just do everything. And I says, I can't continue doing the same way I'm doing life. I have to change. What is happening is because I'm hanging around with different relationships. And that's why it is important. I always tell people, get much exposure as possible. The greatest thing you do, I teach the younger adults to say, is the greatest thing you need to do, invest in exposure. Because if you're not investing in exposure, your life will always live at this level. It's all you know. There's a saying in Bemba, it says, the child doesn't move, what happens? Get exposed. Put money in exposure. Travel where you suppose you have never been. It exposes you. You see how other people are doing life. You thought this is the best way there is, and then you go outside and says, man, life is different level. I thought this is the best, but there's more. Exposure. We're changed by what we're exposed to. You want to change your life? Change your friendships. Expose yourself. One time, 1 year, I put one of my goals. I said, I need to find a guy who's 10 times better than I am. And this will be my friend. And I started looking for that person. Yeah. It wasn't on them to look for me. It's for me to look for them. Connections. It's me who wants to grow. It's not them who wants to grow. It's me who wants to grow. So if I keep knocking, I didn't even get, even when they said no the first day, I didn't stop. I said, when again, sir, can we meet? I said, sir, 2 months from now. I said, oh, thank you so much. Can we put it on the calendar? Yes. Checked. They came, sir, today. I said, ah, sorry, I'm so busy. I said, I can come where you are. Yeah, it's me. It's on me. So I went. From that time, we are meeting every month over coffee, tea, and whatever it is. What happened is because I was intentional. Amen? So, now we are sons and daughters. We belong to this family of God. So, what happens there? A, is that we belong to this family unconditionally. So, Galatians 6, verse 10 says it. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. We do good. We belong. This is where we belong. A connection group or a connection where you are connected. You belong unconditionally. All right? You feel belonging there. The second thing that happens there is that we bear one another's burdens. We bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens so you fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. And then love your neighbor. That's the law. So by loving other people, I am actually fulfilling the law of Christ. And that happens in a connection. It happens when we are doing life with other people. So we carry each other's burdens. Okay, and I see this when we're doing, especially when we're doing funerals. You find when you're doing a funeral, when a person wasn't connected anywhere, they didn't serve, they were not in a CG, they were just members, you know, just members. 10 years, 20 years, just members. And then it happens now on that day, then we fear what to say. Who knows this person? I also don't know. So even when it comes down to give eulogies and speaking during that service, we just say, we are not going to lie. Somebody says, live your life so well so that at your funeral, people should not lie. So say, we're just going to preach the word. And that's it. Nothing to say about this person. There's nothing to say. Says, no, the good works will follow them. We don't want to know their works. And even it becomes an easy burden when the person was connected. Very easy. You see people engaged. There's a lot of encouragement that goes on there. And the connection groups go to help this person. Why? It's because the person was connected to other people's lives. Alright? C, we encourage and build each other. We encourage and build each other. First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another. Build one another up. Build one another up. The idea of relationship is to build one another up. That is why we do connection groups or we do relationships. D is that we grow together in grace and in truth. We grow together in grace and in truth. Rather, Ephesians 4:15-16 says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself. The body building itself. It doesn't say God building the body. It says the body building itself when we do that. See, in my body, there's a part which is called a pancreas. I don't see it. I don't even talk about it. I don't even remember the last time I spoke about the pancreas. It's only now. I don't even think about it. But this little part in my body, when it malfunctions, it's deadly. I can die. But yet I don't talk about it. All I talk about is my hands and my face and all that kind of stuff. And I put so much effort in my face, but in my pancreas, maybe I'm not even putting much effort there. Amen? But you see, as you're doing your part, as you're a part, when you come together as you are a part, maybe you might be a person who we don't even see. Maybe we don't even talk about you. Maybe we don't even recognize what you are doing. But you are that important person. You're bringing health to the body. So don't feel like, oh no, because they have never said anything about me. They never even recognized me. It doesn't matter. You are an important person. Do your part very well. You are a joint supply. You are supplying to this body. And all that happens when we are connected. You see, God's family, we are not alone. God's family, you are seen. In a small group, in a connection group, or any place, it is where you are seen before your head. This is where you are seen, you are supported. It is where your life begins to have meaning. To be connected is a beautiful thing. So we're going to do something to that core, the ashes and the owls. So those of us who are not yet connected, you're not yet in a CG, we want to take this moment. We act. Okay? So just raise up your hand. They'll place a paper in your hand. Just fill it in. Then at the end of the service, those hands are going up so much. Please, let's be quick. There are a lot of hands actually. Wonderful. Oh, this is a good response. Yeah? It's a good response. Clap for yourselves actually. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Let's not miss anybody. Let's not miss anybody. There are a lot of hands here. A lot of hands here. A lot of hands at the back. In the mother's room, there are hands there. Just make sure people connect. We want to be connected. We want to do life with each other so we can get the best out of each other. We're graced differently.